Chapter 3. The Carters Are Out and the Hills Are In. Michael followed a moving truck to a new yet smaller home in Algonquin, Illinois at the end of March. Algonquin was a lovely middle-class suburb just 60 miles west of Lake Forest. Michael sold the house on Festive Lane to Harry and Susan Hill, who believed the home would be a fresh beginning for the three children they had taken into their family due to the tragic deaths of their parents, Karen and Rick McCann. Karen was Susan's sister, although you would never know it. Susan, a tall, thin, natural blonde, could easily have been a model in her younger years, whereas Karen was short and stocky with dark, almost black hair. Rick and Karen owned a bar and grill located on the north side of Chicago called McNasty's. When Susan and Karen's father died from complications from a gallbladder operation, the hospital was found guilty of negligence and the doctors of malpractice. After attorney fees were paid, each sister received around $2.5 million. Karen and Rick bought a bar and grill on Lawrence Avenue and renovated it from top to bottom. It had been a dream of Rick's always to own a restaurant and bar. Rick is the source of the bright red hair that his girls inherited. A short, stocky man with a spare tire, Rick, when he was sober, was always willing to help anyone in need, but was overly protective of his children. Susan and Harry bought their condo at Lake Point Towers and made some very shrewd investments with the money from the settlement. The investment gains allowed Harry and Susan to purchase the Festive Lane house. Harry has a little extra padding and is balding, slightly. With light brownish hair and a graying mustache, Harry is a financial whiz. He reads, watches, and listens to everything and anything financially related. There's always a television on displaying the stock market's ticker when the market is open. Harry also trades Forex and options. He works for IBS and is one of the top brokers at the age of 47. Susan Hill, maiden name Murphy, Karen's sister, is 43 years old and, as mentioned, married to Harry. Susan is a career professional with Milner Polk & James Advertising Agency with no children of her own. She's up for firm partner, but this promotion would place even more time demands on Susan, including increased travel. Being an instant mom, Susan is not sure if she should accept the promotion or not. Victor, the brooding 16-year-old teenager, was adopted when Karen and Rick were told they weren't able to have children of their own. Caitlin and Rose prove that theory wrong. Victor has a dark complexion, as well as dark eyes and dark hair. He was adopted from Uruguay and has Latin features. Rebellious from the age of 12, Victor was a handful for Rick and Karen. Suspensions from school for fighting, cutting class, cheating, swearing at teachers. Victor did not respect or like any form of authority. He was sent to a detention center for boys the week before Thanksgiving for defacing school property. On Thanksgiving Day, he was being released to spend the holiday with his family. Rick and Karen were on their way to get Victor when they were in a head-on collision with another car. They were both killed instantly. Victor and his sisters moved in with Susan and Harry after their parents' passing. Victor borrowed Harry's brand new Mercedes and hit another parked car in the downtown area. A police car saw the act and pursued Victor with the lights flashing and sirens blaring. Victor thought and believed that he would be safe from the police if he could get back to the condo. 16 and without a license, Victor was in quite a bit of trouble. Caitlin and her younger sister, Rose, have bright red hair like their father. Caitlin is 13 years old and very small, only 4'9". Boys hit on Caitlin, and Victor is very protective of his sister. He gets into many fights protecting her from unscrupulous boys with no good on their minds. Rose is 10 years old and, as noted, a redhead as well. She was the apple of her father's eye and daddy's little girl. Small like her sister, Rose loves to sing and play with her dog, Max. Max is a golden Labrador who is smart as a whip and runs on a treadmill all by himself, sometimes for over an hour straight. Max is only 2 years old and still a puppy at heart. As Susan quickly discovered, he loves to destroy socks, bras, and panties lying on the floor. April 12th. It's been a couple weeks since the Hills moved into the Festive Lane home. Harry is busy setting up one of the rooms downstairs as his office. Susan has also claimed one of the 6 bedrooms as her private office. The children have made each of their rooms their own. Rose selected Nicole's room for her own, but it needs to be updated. The pink little girl's room is just too little girl and too pink for a 10-year-old going on 20. Victor took over David's old room. The room was perfect, and Victor was beginning to like living in the new house. It was 3 times the size of their old home in Jefferson Park on Menard Avenue. That house only had 3 bedrooms and a tiny kitchen. The basement would flood every time it rained more than an inch, and only the second floor was air-conditioned. Victor pleaded with his dad to purchase a new home with the money they received in the lawsuit, but Rick wanted to buy the business first. Rick and Karen were planning on buying a new home in Park Ridge, but they ran out of time. Caitlin planted herself in one of the guest rooms and made it into her own. Each bedroom had its own private bathroom, so Caitlin was in heaven. She was used to sharing a bedroom and a bathroom with her sister, but finally, she could have her desired privacy. The main bedroom had a built-in fireplace, sound system, and mirrors above the bed, all done very tastefully. Harry and Susan felt like they were on a second honeymoon and loved the house. Unfortunately, not the same could be said for adjusting to life with 3 kids and a dog. At Lake Forest High School, Victor picked up right where he had left off at his old school. He was getting into fights, caught smoking in the bathroom, and keying a car. He was in detention almost every day. The commute to downtown was more challenging than Harry and Susan had anticipated. They had missed their train numerous times due to being late dropping the kids off at school. Caitlin was always late getting up and would miss her bus to school.
Caitlin, get your butt out of that bed. I am not going to drive you to school again. You are going to make me miss the train, and then I'll have to drive downtown during rush hour. Not again. You can walk to school if you miss the bus,
yelled Susan up the stairs to where Caitlin was semi-conscious.
Caitlin, wake up!
Susan screamed.
Okay, I'm up,
Caitlin yelled back. Every morning, it was the same routine. Caitlin would stay up until 1 or 2 every morning, talking to boys on the phone. She was doing poorly in school and skipping lots of classes. Susan found at least 14 empty cans of Power Energy drinks under Caitlin's bed. Caitlin was going days without any sleep. She also met a boy who was a senior. Caitlin is a freshman. Unfortunately, this boy, Danny, was a huge football player, and the only way Victor was going to be a threat to this kid was if he was driving a tank. Susan runs upstairs and knocks on the bathroom door. Caitlin, are you almost done? The bus will be here in 3 minutes.
I don't feel well. I'm going to stay home today, Caitlin replied.
Oh, no, you're not, young lady. You have missed 4 days in the last 2 weeks. Let's go. Get out of that bathroom now and get dressed.
I don't have any clothes to wear. I'm just going to stay home and shop for some new clothes, Caitlin states.
No clothes. Are you kidding me? You have more clothes than the rest of us combined. Get out here right now and find some clothes to wear, or I swear to God you'll go to home buck naked. I'll drive you right up to the front door, and don't think I won't. Now get ready.
Caitlin came out of the bathroom wearing only a towel and ran into her room, slamming the door behind her.
I hate you, Aunt Susan. I hate this house. I hate my life, and I miss my mom.
Susan sat at the top of the stairs, defeated.
She now remembers why she never wanted to have kids. As she sat there, she realized she would be late for work for the third day in a row, and that Max, the dog, had polished off the sausages she had left on the kitchen table. That dog had the worst gas when he ate those damn sausages. Harry had managed to work from home for the time being. He had the same computer equipment at his downtown office, so his performance had not suffered one iota. Once the kids were at school and Susan was out of the house, Harry and Max could work uninterrupted, unless Max needed to be let out a few times a day. "Harry, Rose has a short day. Can you pick her up at 2? Asked Susan.
"Yes, I have a conference call at 1, but it should be over by 2, he replied.
"Well, don't forget to get her, and if your call runs long, just tell them you have to go get your daughter."
"She's not my daughter," Harry replied.
"She is now," said Susan. Harry stopped and thought. What Susan just said was true. Rose, Caitlin, and Victor were now his kids. He was responsible for them, even if he was only related by marriage. Sometimes Harry curses Rick and Karen for dumping this responsibility upon him. He was perfectly happy working late hours, grabbing dinner downtown with a client or associate, and sleeping in if needed. Ah, those were the days. Now, he's up at 6 a.m. almost every day, making breakfast for 5, and taking the dog for a walk most nights after 10.
"Do you need me to take Caitlin to school so you can make your train?" asked Harry.
"No, it's too late. I'll never make it now. I'll take her to the school," replied Susan as she dialed her office. "Milner, Polk, and James Advertising, how may I direct your call?"
"Hi, Kristen, this is Susan. I'm going to be late. Again. Tell Mr. Polk I will still be on time for the David and David meeting at 10 a.m.
"That meeting has been pushed up to 9, Miss Hill. What should I tell Mr. Polk?" asked the receptionist.
"Tell him I will be there as soon as I beat my daughter to death," Susan replied and hung up.
Susan grabbed her purse and the leather briefcase and headed out to the garage.
"Caitlin, you have 30 seconds to get your ass down here."
She slammed the door behind her. Caitlin came strutting down the stairs, reading a teen magazine as she walked, oblivious to the situation she had created for her aunt. Harry came around the corner to get coffee and saw her lackadaisical attitude.
"Caitlin, what the hell are you doing?" shouted Harry.
Caitlin kept walking and reading as she opened the door to the garage and exited the house. Harry stood there, totally defeated, shaking his head. Max came to his side and sat down.
"Max, why can't the kids be well-behaved like you?"
Max leaned his head against Harry's leg and sighed, as if to say, "Yes, they are a handful." As Susan drove Caitlin to school, she yelled at her about being late, her grades, attitude, obsession with boys. Caitlin continued to read her magazine and turned up the car radio, blocking out the noise from her aunt's filthy mouth.
"And another thing, young lady,"
blah, 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 was all Caitlin heard. Susan pulled up to the school and barely placed the car into park as Caitlin jumped out and into the arms of a guy she hardly knew. The action was intentional, to piss off Susan further. Susan squealed the wheels as she drove away from the high school, partly due to her tardiness for work and partly because she was livid with Caitlin. She and Harry discussed taking Caitlin to a psychologist because her behavior seemed to stem from the loss of her parents, but every time the subject is brought up, Caitlin throws a tantrum and runs out of the house. Ironically, since moving to the Festive Lane house, Victor's behavior improves while Caitlin's is deteriorating more and more each day. Victor still gets into trouble, but it's more the situations you would expect from a 16-year-old boy. There are no more arrests or detention centers for Victor. But Caitlin might find herself shipped off to boarding school if she doesn't shape up. Later that afternoon, just before 2 p.m.,
Mr. Godfrey, I assure you that your stock portfolio would benefit from a little more diversification. Having all your eggs in this one mutual fund is not diverse. Yes, it has many stocks, but it's still a single fund. What we need to do is, Harry said as he was interrupted by an alarm reminder to pick up Rose. Mr. Godfrey, I need to pick up my daughter from school. May I call you back in 15 minutes?
Here are the stocks I need prices for. Hillcrest Industries. Manga Electronics.
Mr. Godfrey started to list off many stocks. I'm sorry, Mr. Godfrey, but I need to get my daughter. May I call you back? Asked Harry.
I wanted to get this done right now. I guess it can wait. Call me back at the end of the week. I'll be in a meeting in 15 minutes. Thanks.
And with that, Mr. Godfrey hung up.
Son of a bitch! This family crap is impacting my revenue stream, Harry said aloud as he ran out of the door to his car.
Harry pulled into the parking lot at Lake Forest Grade School. Rose was sitting on a bench, waiting. Harry beeped the horn and waved out of the window to get her attention.
Let's go, Rosie. Time is money. You are costing me a fortune, he said as she strolled over to the car.
You're late, Uncle Harry. I was waiting here all by myself.
I could have been kidnapped, or worse, talked to by a boy.
Relax, Rosie. It's not raining or anything like that. You're fine. Buckle up so I can get you home.
Don't call me Rosie. My name is Rose.
Well, your father used to call you Rosie, didn't he? Asked Harry.
You aren't my father. Daddy could call me whatever he wanted. You're just my uncle. You can call me Rose, she replied in a sad little voice.
Harry stopped for a second and realized that even though his and Susan's lives had gone on, the children had difficulty dealing with their parents' loss. It had only been a few months since their folks were killed, and he needed to remind himself of their situation. Harry and Susan seldom saw Rick and Karen when they were alive. Rick was a bartender and Harry was a stock analyst, not that much in common besides the occasional beer together. Although Rick and Karen's passing had saddened Harry, he was not devastated by their loss like the children. Harry realized that he was being selfish as he looked at Rose's face in the reflection of the passenger side window and saw a single tear cascade down her cheek.
Rose, would you like to stop at the Dairy Queen for some ice cream?
Ice cream?
Her head turned around, and she looked at Harry as if he were speaking French.
Ice cream? Now? Before dinner, while you have work to do.
Who are you, really, and what have you done with my Uncle Harry?
Okay, I deserve that.
I'm sorry, honey. Sometimes I forget what you're going through. I'm new to this. I'm sorry.
Ice cream? He asked.
Ice cream sounds like a good idea, Uncle Harry.
Yes, I believe it does, Rose.